This episode is brought to you by Book Thinkers. Do you want to reach more readers, grow your audience, and supercharge your impact? Well, at Book Thinkers, they believe the right books at the right time can change lives. Now, you have put serious time into researching, writing, and editing a book, and the idea of marketing can be deflating. Well, truth be told, it doesn't have to be. You've spent a lot of time writing your book for personal development because you want to help readers make positive changes and improve their lives. Where authors get stuck isn't writing or publishing. It's ensuring their target reader gets their hands on the finished book. That's where Book Thinkers come in. They have worked alongside hundreds of authors, from first-time writers to best-selling authors, to help get their book in front of the right reader. And those readers don't just read, they connect. For Book Thinkers, they help video production for authors, book reviews, podcast booking, and even social media management. Now, quick question. Are you ready to change more lives? Well, if you are, then you can go to www.bookthinkers.com and get more eyes on your books now. Business growth and acceleration have always been important aspects of creating value for any business. All of this might sound simple on paper, but it is not easy. Life is hard, building a business is hard, and even being a leader of 7 companies can be hard too. Now, quick question. How does one go from an accidental entrepreneur to an 8-figure business? Well, thankfully, today, this amazing entrepreneur and I have your back. Hi, my name is Rayson Chu, and I'm the host of The Regacy Show. And today, we have invited a visionary leader, okay? And his name is Adam Herroda, okay? Adam is the founder and CEO of Adam Herroda Companies, which includes KW Vermont, Levian, the 200% Life, BlackRock Construction, the founder and the Force Multiplier, and the Herroda Foundation, okay? Adam has built this thriving organization by creating a culture where personal growth and work-life integration comes first. Adam is an entrepreneur at heart and is committed to personal growth through business success. AHC is a powerhouse connector, matching talent with opportunities, the community with resources, clients with realtors, investors with projects and goals, with high impact content and training. Through models, systems, culture, training, and community, AHC empowers the leaders of today to develop the leaders of tomorrow. Well, without further ado, let's welcome Adam into the podcast. Woo!
Excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And I appreciate all the hard work that you do for putting these things on and sharing value with all your listeners.
Well, you're most welcome. And Adam, you know, I have been in conversation with Kim, but I've not really spoken with you, but I've read your profile and I was like, man, holy smokes, like what I mentioned earlier before our podcast, man, it's really amazing. And how have you been, man?
You know, I'm great. You know, it's a beautiful day to be alive. You know, life is very simple when you just allow life to do its dance and you interact with it. I think too many people make it too difficult. And I think you bring that difficultness into business. And I think if you actually get out of the way and act with it, business opens up to a much different level. And we can dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. We can dive. And just want to check if you, like, you are based in Vermont, right?
Yes, I am. Yep, in Vermont, which we just, if you may have seen recently, you know, we just had a tremendous amount of flooding here. But it's funny because if you look, there is certainly some catastrophic damage in some towns. But if you look at just the media or news outlets, it makes it look like all of Vermont has been underwater for like the last day and a half, which really isn't, you know, they work with pictures and images to make it look like it's like, it's way worse than what it is. But there are some areas that got hit really hard. But thankfully, no one was actually hurt. It's just damage. So that stuff can just be a lot of inconveniences, but that's really about it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, you know, having floods is not something that is really going to be convenient for everyone because of traveling to and fro to their workplace or to meetings and all. But thankfully, Singapore, we do not really have much floods. We only have some flash flood. But yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for you guys to actually have this, but I hope you guys will actually have a better climate in the next the next few days or weeks, and so that the flood will subside. And you know, speaking of which, Adam, I believe you know in Singapore they do not really know much about you. So can you share with the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. well, the roles that I play in life, right, are you know, who you are, you are the one who's experiencing life from that angle. And we can get into that more of that spirituality side. But the roles that I play in life, right, I'll take us on a quick little journey here. You know, up until I was about a freshman in high school, I was a little over 100 pounds overweight. I was failing classes and I was in the drugs. Really that role model student you wanted your kid to hang out with. And one day I came home and I was like, you know, I can say it better now, of course, when I look back on it. I didn't really know what I was necessarily, what I was doing, but I realized this was not the life that I needed to live. This was not why I was here. This was not the life that I wanted to live. It was very inauthentic. It was very fake. It was very trying to be somebody else that everybody else wanted me to be. And so I ended up staying up one night as a freshman and I started crying and just stayed up and was like, I'm not going to live my life this way. And the next year I lost over 100 pounds. I changed the friends that I was hanging out with. I got really heavily into sports, which was a huge, I love supporting youth in sports right now because it helped change my life so much. And then fast forward, I took a lot of that drive and aggressiveness, to be honest with you, into the business world. When I was in college, I bought my first piece of real estate. I also, a significant event that actually happened in college was I had a roommate in college, but he wasn't really in college. He was just a roommate. If anybody has one of those, right? Like they just lives on your couch during college, but he was there. And he asked me to go in and buy a used car with him for $500 each, which is about the only amount of money that I had at the time. And so we put it in there and we invested $1,000 in his car. We sold it like 8 days later and we each made like $1,000. And this is my first time I actually had the feeling of leverage, of like using money work for you. Is a small amount, but it was the first taste that I had. And I was in college and I go, wow, this is great. I can really use my money to make more money. And so I actually ended up making a decent amount of money there. And I bought my first piece of real estate. And then in the States during that time, I was in college, 2000, 2004, the market was really rising. So I ended up selling a piece of property when I got out of college for like a $60,000 or $70,000 profit. So I was like, no wonder why everyone's in real estate. You just buy it. And 5 years later, it's worth $70,000 more. Then of course, you know, the whole market crashed in 2006, 7, 8, 9, and 10. I actually got into real estate during the crash. And so everyone around me thought I was crazy. I left a really, you know, I had interned down on Wall Street. I was a commercial banker, watching investment deals. And I realized, you know what it was though, Rayson, was it had nothing to do with really a dollar amount at the time. I just didn't want anybody to tell me what to do. I was essentially unemployable. And I don't know. And if there's entrepreneurs listening there, they may know that you could have a great job, great opportunity, but there's just something about you needing to be in control of, the control is a different word. You want to be the one who's taking all of the risk. You want to be the one that's getting the reward from that. You want to be where the buck stops, right? Like, I don't know how else to say it. Like, you just want to be the one making the decisions in there. You're going to fail with you. You're going to succeed with you. You need some really amazing partners along the way. But that's kind of how I started getting into real estate. I started selling real estate. And then from there, I started building essentially a business every couple of years, in 2010, we'll get into that in a second, but I'll just pause after I share this one note. You know, for me, I had this income goal that when I hit $500,000 in net income, I was, going to somehow have a sense of total well-being in my life. And that's what everyone tells you, right? It's like, well, if you go and you get your house and a white picket fence and a dog and you remodel your kitchen, you get $500,000, like money will make you successful in every way that you thought you could dream and imagine. You buy into that crap, right? We all do.
Right.
And at some point, I was 26 or 27. I hit $500,000 in income. And I was having dinner with my mom, and I looked at her. I'm like, hey, I made this amount of money this year. And she was like, oh, that's great. Pass the ketchup. And because my mom's the most unassuming person, to care less about money. And she was literally like, in that moment, I realized that people don't give a shit, number one. Number two, that this whole money thing is not going to give me the inner joy that I'm actually looking for in my life. And so I really went on that point to start going down a different path, which was I needed to go on an inward journey. And I also didn't want to sit in a cave in an Indian style, which is not even comfortable to sit in, and reciting poos right. over a fire. Like, that's not really what I wanted to do either. I wanted to expand and grow in the world. And so that's been the last 15 years of my life. And that's been the journey, but that's a little bit about who I am and where we are today.
Wow. Yeah. I totally agree with you, especially like, you know, when you earn 500,000 whatever amount that is for somebody to think that, whoa, I'm a millionaire now. I'm a billionaire now. And then to many people, money is not something that they really celebrate. They just, it's good. Okay. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. But for many people on social media, especially entrepreneurs who want to, you know, probably get people to come onto their causes and all this other stuff, then probably they show the bling blings and all, mm-hmm. and say, hey, join my course and you will be rich. You will be learning the tips and the secrets to become really successful and all this other stuff, right? But somehow or other, I mean, all these are just gimmicks in a sense.
Yes.
But of course, there are people who are genuinely, you know, in love with this kind of lifestyle and also at the same time want to bring people into this lifestyle. No problem with that. But then there are people who just don't really fancy about all this money, like what you mentioned earlier as well, which is your mom, who just say, hey, okay, so just pass me the ketchup. And okay, got it. Oh, okay. Oh, interesting.
You know what's funny is when I actually went down that path in 2008, mm-hmm. 9, and 10, my businesses exploded in a good way. You know, I went from basically having a couple of businesses, you know, with minimal amount of employees to having, you know, I have well over 1,000 people that work that are part of my organizations today, right? And it's like that in itself, that inward journey led to that. And it also led to a lot of financial freedom and generational type wealth, which again is it's wonderful. It's just, there are things that I have. It's not like you shouldn't go out there and do those things, but don't go and do any of those things thinking that they're going to give you a sense of total well-being. Kind of like you said, Ray, something it's like, sure, you get it and it's great and you can take a different trip. But look, I had just as much fun camping with my kids as I do as taking a $100,000 vacation. Like, there isn't any difference in terms of the stock of the experience that you have in your life. Because if you don't realize that you're only here for a short minute, it's 80, 90, 100 years, and you're going to die. And so like making all this money and being a leader in the roles you play, they're just things that we do while we're here. Remember, I always remember this, like, you know, goals have a beginning and an end, but they are not the purpose of your life. And so goals are great. They keep you focused. They keep you energized. They can keep teams accountable. You know, if you're learning to play the piano, play it the best you can. If you're a CEO of a company, play it the best you can. If you're an individual contributor to a company, play it the best you can. It's not about not playing all out. It just means that I'm not doing any of that as a way of making myself inside feel any better. Because if you didn't realize that, it just doesn't work. It works temporarily, but it doesn't. And this is where, for me, I had this lifelong question. And for me, which was just, who am I? Why am I here? And what's this whole game that we're playing? And that's why I developed a thing called the 200% life, right? Which is just 100% inner world, 100% outer world, which is there's this whole wonderful inner world that you have. There's a whole 100% outer world that we can play in and have fun and take vacations and buy a jet if you want, or don't buy a jet, or give all your money away. It's almost irrelevant, right? It can't be the purpose of your life. Those are just things that we're doing while we're here.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Which we will be going more in depth later on, because when I saw 200% life, I was like, this is very interesting. And especially when I was listening to the podcast that you were featured on a few years back, and you were explaining about it, and even in your blog, I was listening to it. I was like, oh, okay, this is very interesting. Yeah. Okay, but Adam, I'm pretty sure you have so much of success that you have actually mentioned earlier, like, you know, being able to earn 500K and even more. And then to today, you are $1 billion asset company. And also at the same time, you have 1,000 plus employees working under you, right? But I'm just really curious, Adam, do you have a favorite failure of yours? And how has a failure or apparent failure set you up for later success?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a favorite failure. I think the way I would think about this is that I literally think of my life as one failure after the next that leads to a level of success. I think building a business is surviving your failures on a daily basis. And I think the human experience is surviving your failures on a daily basis. So if you want to pinpoint it to a particular failure, I would say it's the failure of every day. It's kind of like I die daily, right? It's I fail daily. And I share that with my kids and everyone around me, because the problem with building a business is that most people fail too large because they're trying not to fail small enough. And I think that we should say that again. I think most people fail in business because they fail too large and they can't survive it. Instead of failing small enough that allows them to critically think through their smaller failures and learn and put processes and procedures and systems in place and change your thinking so that the failure doesn't become so large that you can't get out of it. And that's really when I think about, and failure is wonderful, right? Again, it's so when I think about it, that's how people want to approach their life. And that you can call that business, you can call that relationships. Look, every experience makes you wiser and gives you more ability to share your experiences with others so others don't make it. So every experience you've ever had is worth having. And that can be in the business setting, it can be anything. I mean, think about all the challenges every single day in business. And it's just, you go, great, I'm going to succeed at some of those and I'm going to fail at some of those. But here's at the end point is if you wake up every day with the intention to raise every moment up that's in front of you to the highest that you can raise it up, you can't lose in life. You may lose in this theoretical success that we call it, but you've won because you've raised it to the highest level that you can based on what you currently know. And if that changes and your wisdom changes, then you'll change the trajectory of your entire life that way.
Wow, this is a really great mindset, man. I mean, like, when we look at failures and we think that, as an entrepreneur, I do not want to fail. I do not want to, make a mistake even, because I want to not lose money. And losing money is really, it's really sad and it bleeds. The bank account is bleeding, pockets are bleeding as well, and you have to pay your employees, pay yourself even, and even pay your collaborators, for example. Oh, this is really tough, but I really love the mindset that you mentioned earlier. And man, I think for those of you who are tuning in, please re-watch that part, that moment, and listen to what Adam has mentioned. And man, that was really profound and really amazing golden nugget that you guys should actually take in and implement it in your business and in your life, right? And Adam, can you share with us a memorable experience or encounter that has profoundly influenced your perspective on life and your career?
Yeah, the it's a great question. I shared a little bit earlier that moment when I was a freshman changed my life, but there's a different one that I'll share. When I first learned, I've meditated over 200,000 hours in my life. And the first time I ever meditated, I I always call it the gateway drug into spirituality for me, or personal growth. It doesn't matter what word you use, but that moment was, the meditation was it's just technique and it's wonderful in it, but it put me into an inward path and an outward path. And I think too many people are focused way too much on the outward path, the outer things, the worldly things they can do, instead of recognizing that actually, if you work on your inward life, the outer world comes together much easier. And so when I think about an impactful moment of my life was learning meditation from a deeper place, and then bringing that practice into every day, gives me the ability to be a better human being in any role that I play, as a parent, as a partner, as a business owner, as an employee, as a janitor. I mean, dude, we're all those, right? Like, it doesn't matter. Right. You could be a CEO of a 50,000 organization, and then you go into your next meeting and you're a follower. So like, it's just, you have to be willing to drop your egos of the roles you play into the moment that you're in life, and having a deeper connection to your inward journey, your inward stability, gives you the ability to toggle back and forth between the roles that you play in a much clearer sense, so you can show up and serve whatever it is of being asked of you.
Yeah, right, right. I agree with you on that. And just wondering, like, where do you learn
transcendental meditation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, transcendental meditation has been around in Eastern societies for a long time. And then Ramani Maharshi brought it over in the 50s and 60s to the United States. Mm-hmm. And it's been around here for a while. But, you know, there's a lot of people that swear by it. Do you know who Ray Dalio is by any chance?
Principles. Yeah, the author of Principles. Yeah, he's like one of the billionaire. Man, his hedge fund, wow, amazing guy. And he's a good buddy of Warren Buffett as well. Yeah.
Guy's a stud, yeah. Dude. I mean, presidents call on him, economic. Anyways, he actually credits his entire success to transcendental meditation. He actually talks a lot about it in Principles, but he actually has the TM Center. He offers it as a benefit. Oprah offers it as a benefit to all of her employees. Hugh Jackman, by the way, credits it. Jerry Seinfeld talks about if everyone just meditated to TM and exercise every day, they would remove depression and most likely not have to have the medication that they're on. And anyway, I'm just name dropping to build credibility around TM, but that's kind of essentially how I found it. It does. I mean, what it does, it gives you clarity. And so for me, when I think about an impactful moment, it's not just that. There's actions that have to come from that moment. But that moment gave me ability to take a different level of action that produced a different result in my life.
Oh, okay. Wow, nice. And who introduced meditation to you? Was it your mentor, or was it you chanced upon it?
Yeah, actually, my wife bought me an introductory session for my birthday. Back in 2009. Yeah. So she knew I was kind of like in this spot, right, where I was just kind of like, man, I'm having all this outward success. I'm building these companies and we're doing this. And for some reason she drove by and she goes, "Hey, I saw this," and I checked it out. And she actually name dropped to me. That's how she got me doing it. She goes, "Well, Ray," I'm a huge Ray Dalio fan. So she's like, "You know, Ray Dalio does this, and, you know, credits all his success to it. And so does Hugh Jackman and Jerry Seinfeld and, you know, and Oprah." And I was like, "Okay, so fine, I'll do it." Right. Like, type thing.
That's smart. That's really smart of her.
It was. Yeah. That's why I always name drop people like that, because they go, "Oh, well, maybe I don't really get what Adam's saying, but like, dude, if Ray Dalio is saying it, then definitely I'll check it out." Or Oprah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I always kind of share that.
Okay. So, okay, cool. Well, we'll go and check that out. And hopefully the app that I'm using has this kind of meditation. I'm actually using this really cool app for meditation, which is called Insight Timer. So nice. I think guys can also check it out as well. All right, and Adam, can you discuss a time when you had to make a difficult decision, and how did you go about weighing the pros and cons for that?
Yeah, one of the times, there's been a lot of difficult decisions in my life, but more recently, I had, when the markets really started heating up around here, I had a decision to, I had essentially four offers to sell a majority ownership of my company. And so I had to make a really difficult decision of, A, which offer do I take? And two, do I want to take an offer and sell that? And, ultimately, I believe I made the right one. I did sell the majority of that to a large group, which was great. And that's worked out really, really well. But it was a really difficult decision. There was a lot of different things to weigh, and from every single angle. It was like it's probably a year long process when I think about it, in terms of like making the decision from where you are and then another year to actually close the deal out and stuff. So it was a long-term decision coming in. You know, here's my thing with decisions. Most of the decisions that people are trying to make, what we're really doing is we're asking ourselves, which one is going to make me feel the best inside? That's what you're really doing. Like, you're almost doing a dress rehearsal with your mind of saying, okay, well, if I go out on Friday night, like, do I want to wear this? Or do I want to wear that? Or do I want to be with these friends? And what you're doing is you're waiting to see how you feel. The inner energy changes from that. It's why people struggle with decisions so much. It's not the decision is hard. What you're trying to do is you're trying to evaluate which decision is going to give me the most energy inside and make me turn me on as, turn me on the most inside. Whereas I always approach it a little bit differently. And so how I share that, because when I went through this process, I basically said, I don't know if that's the best way to make big decisions in my life that way. In fact, I actually want to be clear. So if I'm making a decision based on what I believe is going to make me feel the best, I don't know if that's the best way to actually make decisions. So instead, when that shows up, I relax, release, or surrender, allow that energy to move through. And then the decision actually becomes undisguised. It becomes very clear for you. And so I think there's a model to decision-making that people in business can make. Instead of making a decision based on their own inner energies, which you all know this, if you're in a business or in life, one moment you wake up and you're perfect and it's great. And you're like, sure, I'd love to do that. The next day you go, why did I make that decision? Because you're not feeling the same way inside. So to avoid that, and as a leader, by the way, a leader's or a CEO's job, their work product is decision-making. Right? That's your job, is to make decisions. So that's one of the most important things leaders do, because it changes the trajectory of your entire organization. Decisions on who to hire, decisions of what work to focus on, decisions where to raise capital or not raise capital, decisions to fire somebody, to do layoffs, to go into a new, to have R&D. Those are all decisions that you're making every single day. And the trajectory of companies from decent to good to great to amazing are based on the ability of your leader and your leadership team to make higher quality decisions every single day. So then I always work backwards from there to put myself in the best situation, to be in the situation to make the highest quality decision that I can, to keep putting our organization in that way. And for me, and if you ask me this question, it's always gonna be, how do I make sure that I'm not making a decision from an inner energy standpoint, and I'm making one with clarity. As an example,
right?
How many people have been in business and had a wonderful profit month, right? Right? You had a big month. It was profit. You're feeling great. You went out and you made decisions based on this high energy field, right? And then 3 months later, you go, why the hell did I make that decision? Why did I buy that? What was I thinking when I do that? You were caught up with your energy and you made decisions. Conversely, we've all been there when an email comes in or somebody calls you and you go, I can't believe this person wrote to me like this. I can't wait to show them, right? And you write this email and it comes out of energy and you send it. The next morning you get a reply back and you read your email and you go, dude, what was I thinking, right? So I try to avoid those as much as possible from making decisions from this inner energy swings up or down. And you try to pull yourself back to the middle way or the Tao to make decisions from.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you, especially in decisions. If we are just emotionally inclined to make that decision, then many times we'll regret after that, because we'll be thinking, hey man, why did I buy that stock? Why did I even hire that guy who had made some mistakes before, who had, caused some issues here and there in their previous companies or in social media or whatsoever, right? So yeah, I totally agree with you on that. Wow. And man, Adam, I'm pretty sure, when you were actually growing your business up, when you were going through that self-leadership kind of process that you went, I'm pretty sure you've met some mentors along the way. So can you share with us, like, what's the best piece of advice you have ever received from them?
Yeah, there's been multiple mentors in my lives. So I'm going to share a couple of different pieces of advice, not just one, because I just think it's worth sharing. I think it's hard to pinpoint on a bumper sticker one. But I'll get right out of the way fast. I already shared it, which is fail fast, fail often. Fail fast, fail often, right? The other one is think bigger. Now, we hear the word think bigger, and what people think about that is like, okay, I can think bigger, but why? So let me explain that. When the word think bigger, the whole designing of what it means to think bigger every time you set a goal, let's just use as an example, like I'm going to go out and I'm going to make $50,000 a year. Okay. When you think that way, you've now created a box on who, what, how, basically how you're going to make 50,000, who do you have to become? Who do you have to hire? How are you going to do this? Right. So you've boxed yourself in to a series of questions, which is what thinking is anyways, which is just questions. So you've boxed yourself in to a series of events that are going to unfold and actions you have to take to make $50,000 a year. If I'd have said, well, it doesn't take any more energy to say, well, how do I make $1 million a year? You now have increased your box to who you have to become to make $1 million a year is completely different. Who you have to hire is completely different. How you're going to make $1 million, a different model, a different system. And the why behind that changes as well too. So you have these, you know, who, how, why changes in these boxes by just thinking bigger. That's why if you can just think bigger in every aspect of your life, like how do I have a 10 relationship instead of a 4? How do I have, you know, a wonderful inner experience? How do I build a business that generates $5 million a year in passive income? The questions themselves produce different actions, which then produce different results. So that's the second piece. So those are two more on, you know, you can use them in life and business. And then the third one is really an inward one, which is Michael Singer, who wrote The Untethered Soul, Surrender Experiment, or Living Untethered, is a good friend of mine. I've got to spend some personal time with him. And he, you know, he's been on Oprah and all that stuff. And one of the things he said to me, and what he teaches a lot of people, is just what's called surrender. And it doesn't mean, when people hear the word surrender, they instantly go passivity, inaction, has nothing to do with that. What you're surrendering is you're surrendering the part of you that is not okay with life so you can be clear enough to deal with life and act forward with it. And so look, there's only two things you should be doing every moment. One is enjoying the experience that you're having, or two, letting go of the part of you that's preventing you from enjoying the experience that you're having. And so that third piece of advice would be surrender, and really what that word actually means.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, you know, I've always thought that surrendering is just like what many Christians have actually mentioned. They surrender their problems to God, business to God, and then let God, you know, guide them through and let them go through that process. And, you know, they won't be thinking so much about that problem and issue and business and all this other stuff, and just go along the way. But when you mentioned what you have mentioned earlier, I was like, oh, this is a really different concept than what I've been thinking of in terms of surrendering. Wow, interesting. Okay. Wow, nice. Wow, I really, really like what you have explained. So, man, so this is what surrender is all about, huh?
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah, it really is. Surrender is not what people think it is. surrender is that, look, because there's a voice inside your head, right? It talks all the time, right? There's these emotions that you have, which, by the way, we're so good at detecting what emotions are. Like, we can tell the difference between anger and irritation. We can tell the difference that you go, I'm jealous. No, hold on, I'm not jealous. I'm feeling that I'm frustrated, right? Just the subtle changes of energy, and we know that we label them something. You know, I'm joyous. No, you know what? I'm actually enlightened, right? Like, whatever the word is that you want to use. We've just used words to describe our inner experience that we're having. And so surrender is surrendering to that part of you that's preventing you from enjoying the experience, which is the self-concept that you've created, or ego or psyche, whatever you want to call it. And it's only because that mind tells you not to. I mean, that mind is so spoiled because it just asks for everything, and people give it to it left and right. That's all it does. Is the mind says, go do this, and you go do it. It's like a 3-year-old taught, like throwing a tantrum in a grocery store. And all you do is you keep giving it what it wants. And of course, no wonder why everyone's suffering.
Yeah, totally. Oh, wow. Okay. Got it. Well, and Adam, you know, I know that you are a great bookworm, book lover. So can you share with us, like, what books have had the biggest impact on your life and why?
Yeah. There's a book called The One Thing, written by Gary Keller and Jay Papazan. It's a very focused book on, in terms of focusing yourself. The Untethered Soul, Surrender Experiment, or Living Untethered by Michael Singer are wonderful books as well too. I love principles. You mentioned that earlier, Ray Dalio's. I'm a huge fan of Ray Dalio. So that would be one that I love a lot. I'm a big fan of the Bhagavad Gita, which is a wonderful book for people kind of on that journey. I also really enjoy autobiographies or biographies of individuals because it really tells the story of how difficult things are. And one of the books that I always like to give people on the, from the business front is The Hard Things About Hard Things. You ever read that book before? By Ben Horowitz, and he has Horowitz and Andreessen Fund, which is one of the biggest funds in North America. And he wrote a book called The Hard Things About Hard Things. And it's just funny because it just talks about how freaking difficult it is to build a business that nobody else talks about, right? And he's like, all these managers write books and they've never freaking managed a fruit stand before. And they tell you how, what to do and their philosophies. And he's like, "What? Where's the manager when you got to lay off 1,100 people, right? Like, where's that person, right? Like, it's just what it is."
Yeah, right. I mean, like it's just like, you know, business professors. So there are so many professors who are teaching business, but they don't really have a physical business by themselves. And they are paid handsomely in the universities just to teach and all. So yeah, I mean, this is life. When it comes to business, we should learn from people like you who are true blue entrepreneur at heart, kind of entrepreneurs, rather than those that just read from theory and they're teaching just based on theory itself.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome. And now to the main focus of our interview, Adam, I'd like to ask you, right, you know, which one comes first? Is it career growth or personal growth?
You know, a lot of people ask me this question of how do I find my passion in my career? How do I go find the job that turns me on? Or how do I, you know, what am I passionate for in my life? And people love my answer, but this is my answer for them. And so you get, your listeners can take it the way it is. You know, I think of it differently. I always wake up and say, I want to go be passionate for anything that I do in life. And so therefore I want to first have passion in my life, enjoy and enthusiasm, and then go take that into whatever endeavor that I do. Therefore, I'm not conditionally passionate on things that I do. I want to be unconditional things. Like nobody would say I want conditional love, but that's what you're basically saying when I want to go have a passion for only being a CEO of this type of company, then now you've singularly put yourself into a conditional spot of you bringing your passion to it, which is not really the way I like to look at it, which is to go out there and have first work on your being energy, being enthusiasm, being passionate for things you do, and you take that into whatever you do, you end up in a much better situation, and you have a much better total well-being of your life. So for me, it's not... And by the way, most people, if you actually talk to most entrepreneurs, I know you do a lot. They don't actually know exactly where they're going, right? They just know they want to go out and contribute and build. And they end up with this product or service or AI or tech or whatever it is that came from a whole system of failures. So it didn't really, it's not like they went out there and say, I'm going to go do this. There's a few, I'm not denying that, but most people generally don't go after their career. And I would recommend that you go first learn to bring energy, your enthusiasm, your passion into any activity that you're doing. And by the way, entrepreneurs will notice that and they'll go, hey, can I hire you? That's how it starts. And they start promoting you.
Okay. Interesting. Because every time when I read books or when I listen to podcasts or I interview, they all taught me that, you know, passion is something that it comes from within, which is it comes from you first before other things in a sense. But there are also another way of thinking where there are people who say that, oh, you got to build something first. You gotta build that thing and earn money. And once that thing earns you money, you then will grow passion in that thing because it is giving you the money, generating the money. Correct me if I'm wrong, if that's the wrong approach to building a business.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a wrong approach. It's not my approach. And based on my experience, I would certainly say that that's setting yourself up for a level of suffering. I just don't think it works personally.
Okay. Understand. Okay, cool. Okay, because that was one of the, I think one of the entrepreneur that I actually spoke with, and he mentioned this. So I was like, okay. All right, but anyway, let's move to the
thing is, everyone has different experiences, and it may have been his experience. And that's how he describes it. That's why it's look, but here's my, at least this logically asks this question, like, would I rather have passion and joy and excitement while I'm doing my activity, or would I want to wait to go do that at some point in time in my life? And I don't know who would answer that I wouldn't want to have enthusiasm, passion, and joy for the moment now in front of me, because we don't know if we're ever going to get to that moment. So it's just, it right. makes complete logical sense to bring your energy and passion into whatever you're doing and then allow that to build whatever you want to build.
Okay, I understand. So it's just like what Steve Jobs have mentioned.
Yes.
Do what you love and love what you do. Yeah. Okay, I understand. Okay, cool. And you know, earlier on, we were actually talking about this 200% life, right? So I remember you mentioning it's 100% inner and 100% outer. Can you explain more in details about what this 100% inner and 100% outer means? Does it mean that you're going to have a life where 100% inner fulfillment, 100% outer fulfillment? Or what does it really mean?
Yeah, great question. Most, you know, for me, the 200% life is a model that people can live by. Most people wake up and they spend 100% of their time in their outer life. It's like people, places, things, cars, money. You know, it's like, I always call it the nouns, right? People, places, and things. And you try to go out there and you try to manipulate the outer world to match up to how you need it to be in order for you to feel good. I mean, that's essentially how people wake up. They wake up and they go, all right, my partner needs to show up a certain way to turn me on. Then I need to go into work and I need things to happen a certain way to make me feel good. And you spend all this energy trying to get the world outside just enough so you can handle it. Just the way you want it to, so it feels good and turns you on based on what you do. And you just, and whether you, then when you actually, then if you, you're striving to get it, you have hope that you're going to get it. And when you get it, you're trying to hold on to it. And so you're suffering at all these angles because you're spending so much time and energy just trying to get the outer world to make your inner world have a better experience, which is like trying to go to rock and trying to get water out of it. It just doesn't work. There's no water there. It's there. You have to bifurcate the two. And so the 100% inner world is where, if you question me, like, is where's what you want to experience. So nobody would go after money if they didn't believe money would turn them on. So what you're really looking for is you're looking for a total well-being inner experience of joy, enthusiasm, and love that you can bring in whatever it is. Well, that is an inward experience, not an outer experience. And the inward experience also has a voice. It has a heart, it has emotions, and you have the experiencer. And so I always work backwards and say, okay, well then who am I? And you are the experiencer of life. You're not your body, right? You're not your thoughts. You're not your emotions. You are the one who's experiencing this. But it doesn't mean that you have to go be, a yogi in the mountains sitting there to experience this. We experience it every moment. And so that's why I wrote a book called The 200% Life, or The 200% Life Podcast, is designed to generate these type of, because it's really self-therapy for me, because it's the question that I've had all my life is, I want to go play in the world, but I also know that by playing in the world and getting what I want doesn't work. Look, how many times have you gotten what you wanted in life? And sure, maybe temporarily you felt good, but then it's like, okay, then what's next? What's next? If it's not this, it's that, right? There's always something more you're going to go after. So if you play in the outer world of your entire life, you'll play this chasing game all your life. That's why billionaires are miserable. It's why billionaires who have created wonderful things, and I know a lot of them, they have relative moments of happiness, but man, they do not experience the totality of life. And that's why this 200% life concept is, I'm going to wake up every day and focus on my inner experience while I'm interacting with the world, building a business, being a teacher, you know, being a stay-at-home parent, you know, being, you know, a tech guy, whatever it is, dude, just playing roles. And those roles change, by the way. Like, you've played a different role when you were 15 right. than you are today, and you'll play a different role later on in your life if you're there. So the 200% life is just a model that gives you this framework to be able to go out there and first work on your inner world, and you bring that into the outer world that you're doing.
Oh, okay. Wow. Love it. Okay. Nice. Wow. I really enjoy this 200% live thing. And I'm pretty sure, you know, those of you who are tuning in, you guys can actually go and check out the 200% live podcast as well and get more in-depth understanding about life, about business, about relationships, which I saw that, oh, he talks, Adam talks a lot about all these things in his 200% live podcast as well. And wow, amazing. And Adam, I understand that you have this, you have been practicing this thing called self-leadership. And that was how you actually reduce your weight, and also at the same time, how you actually build your business up through self-leadership. So can I ask you, are self-leadership and personal development the same thing?
Yeah, to me they are. And let me explain. I think self-leadership, personal growth, personal development is really about, there's a couple ways to look at this. I think self-mastery is overcoming that voice inside your head that says no. And that's self-development and self-leadership. And what self-leadership means is that when you decided to do something, you act on it. So let me give you an example. The night before you go, I'm going to go for a run tomorrow morning for 4 miles. So you're set, you set your intention, that's what you're going to do. You wake up in the morning and the first thing that you hear is that voice inside your head saying, you don't need to run today. You shouldn't run today. Why don't you go check your phone? Why don't you go start working? Because that's really important. You got to get prepared for this thing. And then it's going to tell you to go distract yourself. So self-leadership is literally just being able to overcome that voice inside your head that tries to derail you from your goal. So the self-leadership, the personal development is just not paying attention to those thoughts in there that are trying to walk you away from what's most important for your own development.
Okay. Oh, nice. Well, I love your explanation on self-leadership. And yes, I truly agree, because, like, you know, self-leadership, so it's like as if you are the leader of yourself and you have to take that action and build up that momentum whenever you're performing a task or you're going towards a goal, a milestone kind of thing.
Okay. Well, it's like, it's funny. We even use the language in this. You said self-leadership. So there's something else that you have to overcome inside you, which is your psyche, which is your self-concept. And remember, it's a self-concept. It's created by you based on the experiences you've had, the things that you've read, people that have influenced your life, and you've created this idea, this concept about who you think you are. And that's what you're overcoming. It's because there's the natural tendency is for you wanting the world to reward your self-concept instead of rewarding who you truly are, which is the deeper self.
Okay, I understand. Oh, wow. Nice. Okay. And Adam, you know, you have this mindset that actually helps you to build this business and grow this business up to such phenomenal aspect. Can you tell us, like, what are the steps needed to grow yourself and your business 1,038% in just 3 years?
Yeah. Well, I think number one is you have to have awareness. You have to have awareness of who you are, of how you act, your natural behavioral style, because every entrepreneur is different. Some of them are very in-depth in terms of they love to run operations. Some of them love to have a marketing eye. Some of them are great at numbers and accounting, right? And some of them are very much more bigger visionaries. So the first thing is understanding who you are to give you the understanding of who you are not. As you show up in the world, right? Like, it would be weird to see a hawk eating a plant, right? Like, it just doesn't happen, right? Because hawks eat meat, right? So the same thing is everyone has their own nature. And so once you understand who you understand who you are not, and then you fill in the who you are not with great hires. And that's how you essentially scale and build a business, which is filling in the gaps and hiring the best people that you can find, becoming highly attractive to others through your self-leadership, through your self-development, through your energies and your efforts that you're putting out there. You attract people to your organization and business, and that in itself helps build a bigger team, which then grows the entire organization.
Oh, okay.
So the first step that I would say is really sit down and go, awareness. Who am I? Like, have this awareness of who are you?
Okay. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, so the first step will be having awareness, and then what comes after that?
Yeah. So once you have awareness, then you got to fill in the gaps of who I have to hire. If you want to build a big business, you need other people along with you. So then you, then, so maybe right. you're a really good, you know, COO, but you're terrible at marketing. So you need a wonderful CMO, a chief marketing officer, right? Or you need somebody in marketing. I also think you need an executive assistant. We wrote a whole book about the relationship between the founder and their force multiplier, which is your EA, your chief of staff, or your personal assistant, or whatever it is for you. That's right. such a critical and key hire to make as you're building an organization, because that's the person that, you know, everyone, every entrepreneur has like 80% of these things that need to get done, but they won't do them unless somebody else does. Mm-hmm. Everyone has that, by the way. And so your executive assistant allows you to focus on your 20%, which is the 20% of the activities you do produce 80% of your results, right? Instead right. of most people are building a business by spending 80% of their time producing 20% of their results, because they're doing everything else that they think they need to do and not realizing that business building is actually very messy. And then the last step for this was just is as simple as just not give up, never give up. I know that sounds like everyone has said never give up, but when you're mm-hmm. building a business, you truly understand what that means, because you can't give up, right? And the funny thing is, if you just don't give up, at some point there becomes a breaking point and you enter into a new realm. And so literally, like, just that never give up is such an important part.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. Wow, I love these three steps. Really easy, not easy to act on, but it's definitely yeah. going to be worth it, especially when you don't ever give up. And man, wow, love it. And Adam, can you talk about the importance of building a strong team and how you go about assembling and developing your team members, especially when you have your executive assistant, for example, and then who are the other people that you have to hire, for example? Yeah. How do you go about that?
Well, again, it starts a little bit knowing who you are. The second question I would ask everybody that's out there, and they should think about this and either journal about it or ask somebody else, which is, would you work for you? Would you work for you? Because if you want to build a business, which means building a business means that you're doing something with employees, right? If you're a sole right. proprietor, you can have a business, but you're a sole proprietor, which is just you. Building a business means you're hiring folks. So then you have to be an organization that do you have a very strong vision? What's your vision? Yeah. People want to be attracted to vision. What is it, right? Do you have a very clear sense of the direction of where you're going? Do you provide clarity to the people around you, right? And do you make high quality top decisions every single day? So those are the three things that you do as a leader that helps attract talent, because that's what you're really doing, is you're attracting the highest level talent, right? And again, right. you have to be talent yourself in order to attract talent. It's like, you know, yeah. if you were to go out and start coaching the New England Patriots, not many people would probably show up because football is not your thing, right? So like, but you need a high level coach or owner to go out there and hire the coach that's high quality, that then attracts other people, right? So you have to think about that, right? It's like, if you want to attract people, you have to be attractable in business, which again, I like to ask the question, which is, would you work for you?
Okay, well, this is really deep and really, really, well, gets not just me, I believe everyone who's tuning in will be actually thinking deep in this, and you can actually journal it down and ask yourself, would you be working for yourself? And if it's a yes, then well, good to go. Well, good yep. to go. And Adam, can you share some strategies for fostering a positive and productive company culture? Because somehow or other, as the CEO or the founder, sometimes you wouldn't know who you hire, in a sense, yeah. because some managers will hire for you and they will tell you, oh, this person is great. But then overall, after a while later, they became really a black sheep of the company, right? So how do you actually prevent all this from happening and provide more positive
If your business gets big enough, you're not going to prevent it. It's going to happen. It's just what you do with it when it does happen, right? That's number one, is how long right. do you allow it to go on, or do you make the hard leadership decisions? Remember, the reason why you're the leader is because they're decisions that nobody else wants to make. it's as simple as that. Like, I don't want to go make that decision, so they come to you to make it. And that's part of your job as being an owner, is to make the decisions that nobody else wants to make, which means firing or hiring certain individuals that you would need to do that. But the positivity is, first, are you bringing that with you? Like, it's hard to fake that over time.
Yeah.
So are you enjoyable? Are you have a sense of well-being? That starts with it, right? Everything has to start within you. And then if you do that, you'll attract people that are similar in nature that way, right? They may be better at COO versus marketing, but they have a core, you know, it's like they have a aligned heart, right? If you will, right? Mm-hmm. They're heart-liked, right? So it's like, you have to do that first. And then you just have to be willing to make very tough decisions in leadership to get those individuals out of the organization. So you keep your culture exactly the way you want it to.
Okay. Wow. Okay. I understand. Yeah. I truly agree with you on that. Especially like if let's say,
I was going to say, it's like heartedness. That's the way I like to think about it. It's like, we're all like heartedness, but we think differently. So we're all like hearted, but you have different natures and different qualities. Sorry. I just wanted to share that, but like heartedness.
Lighthearted. Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. I mean, you cannot be serious all the time and too overly serious and letting people not like you, and you become unlikable, which is very bad for a company's culture. And yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And Adam, can you provide some insights on effective leadership and how you empower and motivate your team members, especially when you know, like COVID period, a lot of things are going haywire, a lot of things went down the drain. How do you empower and motivate your team?
Yeah. Well, I'll talk about empower in a second, but to motivate people for me is, I don't really have to motivate anybody of my staff because I hire people that are motivated. I only want to partner and be around people that are self-motivational, meaning they can motivate themselves. If I have to wake up and try to motivate somebody, you're not going to be in my world, right? That's just the reality of the situation. So empowering people is different, which is really about sharing your vision as much as you can, as frequently as often, providing clarity and direction to your people constantly, right? That's the two big thing is vision and clarity and direction, and then making high quality decisions. That's how you're really going to empower people.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Love it. Okay. You know, Adam, as we are coming to the end of the podcast, I have one last question for you. Adam, can you share with us, like, what is one piece of advice you would give to aspiring entrepreneurs or individuals who are looking to achieve success in their chosen field?
Would say you need to define what success means to you. Otherwise, you'll chase success your entire life.
Wow. This is deep. This is really deep and gets me thinking as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on that, because success to you, success to me, success to anybody that's tuning in right now can be different.
Yes.
And yeah, I agree with you on this one. Oh, I love it, man. Thanks you so much for all these golden nuggets that and you know, all these value bombs that you've been dropping in over here. I really, really enjoyed our conversation as much as, you know, even to now. I was like, oh my god, there's so many epiphanies when you're sharing a lot of things. Well, I will definitely advise everyone to re-listen this episode again and again until you get hold of the gem, the value of this tips and advices, and even the secrets that Adam has actually mentioned. And for those of you who didn't know, Adam, in his website itself, he has some free resources for you guys. You guys can actually check it out. I just signed up for his Conscience Thinking and a few others as well. You guys can actually go and check it out. And Adam, where can my followers find you on social media? Can you share them?
Yeah, well, thanks for allowing me to be here and share a little bit of my journey. I mean, adamhergenrother.com is a great place to go /resources, and there's a bunch of free downloads and resources people can take advantage of. And you can also go to the 200% Life podcast and whatever medium you choose to listen to podcasts for. And if you like it, leave us a review and share it with somebody else. And if you don't, then that's awesome too. But thank you for checking it out.
All right, awesome. Okay, so with that, I would like to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to the episode. And of course, we are going to bring you even more value and more amazing guests that are coming on board the Ragsy Show soon. So stay tuned for it. So with that, take good care of yourself and have a great week ahead. All right, see you and bye-bye. Right. Thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Ragsy Show. I hope it has enlightened you. I hope it has brought you to an epiphany where you realize that this is where you want to go and this is what you want to do. So I hope you will continue to support and also at the same time like, comment and share this episode out to your people, to your family, your friends, and not forgetting that we have just created a Telegram group. It's called the Ragsy Show Family, so you can go and check it out and let us know how you find this group is serving you. All right, so with that, I would like to thank you once again, see you and stay tuned for another episode of the Ragsy Show.